This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Their situations are kept confidential to protect them, but the numbers are rising nationally. There are more homeless students now than in the past dozen years. The National Center for Homeless Education says more than 1.5 million public school students nationwide experienced homelessness during the 2017-18 school year. WSBT 22's Tali Taylor found that the numbers are rising in local school districts as well.
In spite of healthy economies in the area, the number of students experiencing homelessness increased in every district I examined. And we're not talking about a couple dozen students here. We're talking about districts with hundreds of students.
It's fun, yeah. I like school and like math and science and all that.
This Elkhart Memorial High School junior has two favorite classes, calculus and physics. But unlike many of his peers when they leave school, he's not returning to his home every day.
Do you ever worry about other kids finding out that you're here or anything like that? Is that ever a concern for you?
No, it's pretty, like, I'm secretive about it, and, like, I've had no problem.
He's one of Elkhart School's 225 homeless students, or as experts prefer, students experiencing homelessness. He tells me he doesn't care if people find out that he's living with his mom and his siblings at the Center for the Homeless in South Bend. The center's Nia Perillo tells me she works hard with local school officials to keep situations like this confidential.
You know, because sometimes kids can be mean and then there's the bullying and all that stuff.
If that Elkhart number surprises you, you should know that it's increasing in other local school districts as well. I looked at the number of students experiencing homelessness at South Bend, Elkhart, PHM, Goshen, Concord, and Mishawaka schools. All of them saw increases between 2018 and 2019, the last year of data available.
Our kids are from hard places.
Perillo says most of the kids she works with deal with frequent moves, food insecurity, and neglect. Schools are required by the McKinney-Vento Act to provide transportation for these students, even if they live outside their school district. The goal is to keep these kids at the schools and with the classmates they've always known. Perillo has set it up so that a South Bend bus driver takes the Elkhart Junior to and from school every day.
We could just get off, get in the school, wait in the building for a bit, and then like the other kids come in and we go in.
Goshen schools have seen one of the biggest increases in local students experiencing homelessness.
We were at 187 in 16-17. As of December 2019, we were at 290.
Goshen schools assistant superintendent Alan Metcalf tells me parents enrolling their kids in the district complete a residency survey. Then, if the family qualifies under the McKinney-Vento definition, lacking a fixed, regular, adequate nighttime residence, school officials work to help them out.
Anytime we talk about school funding, we need to take a look. We have to think about the needs of the population within that school.
Metcalf tells me school funding formulas don't always take into account districts that have a high percentage of students experiencing homelessness. And if those districts underperform on tests, they get asked why their results aren't the same as other districts getting the same amount of money.
Well, we're not making widgets. We're working with students who have individual issues and problems.
Perillo says the center currently has 50 kids, the most since she started working there several years ago. Some of the kids have behavioral issues at school and deal with suspensions. But, she says, the context for why these kids are acting out is crucial to understand.
If you're always on high alert or you don't know when the next meal's coming and that stress hormone is in your body.
Perillo's afternoon program for kids seems designed to combat these stressors. After they get off the bus, they can chill out in the car room or children's activity room and play basketball or soccer. Then there's community dinner, followed by time for enrichment and group activities. Between 7 and 8, volunteers come 4 days a week to help the older kids with homework. Another stressor on students experiencing homelessness, extra long days. Because many districts have a shortage of bus drivers, some of these students are picked up as early as 5:30 in the morning and dropped off around 6 p.m.
There's also confidentiality to think about. How do the school districts make that work with bus drop-off and pickup? It depends largely on the student. Some prefer to get off the bus before or after other students do. Some prefer to get off at the same time and blend into the crowds. From high school student to certified pilot, a new aviation program offered through South Bend Community Schools allows students to do just that. They start by flying with a simulator, but eventually will get to fly an actual airplane.
The course instructor told me that students have to spend 50 hours on the flight simulator working towards a private pilot's license, and they're doing that all while still in high school.
Two, three. Nice.
The aviation and flight program takes place at the South Bend International Airport.
I decided to do this program because being a pilot and traveling, seeing different stuff was something that I had an interest in.
High school students spend hours on this simulator and then will get the experience of flying a real plane.
I'm kind of scared, but I guess I was kind of scared to drive, so it's kind of the same thing that you'll have to practice and practice to get through it.
School officials say this program allows students an early start on a potential future career.
So it's a terrifically exciting thing that students who are here and they're learning at the airport could one day be flying the plane I'm on or you're on and making a great career for themselves.
They are going to continue to add more programs outside of the typical classroom.
And I think it's the wave of the future is to take our education into the workplace.
Because helping students figure out what they want to do is an important step in their future success.
By mid-high school, these kids really need to be finding their one thing and being able to narrow in and then begin to get the competencies and skills to be able to walk right from high school right into real-world work.
As for the students starting this program, many of them consider coming to the airport every day for school a dream come true.
Well, I was very excited because I've wanted to be a pilot for a long time when I was much younger. So the fact that I get to start learning in high school was a very cool experience.
Students that complete the course will actually be able to test for their private license and earn credits towards their aviation technology technical certificate.
That's WSBT 22's Brooke O'Daniel reporting. Children as young as 12 could be sentenced as adults in Indiana if a new bill passes the state legislature. Right now, the age is 13. The bill would also expand what crimes could send a child to jail.
Like murder, attempted murder, kidnapping, and armed robbery. While some are skeptical about parts of the bill, supporters say it could provide an option in extreme cases. St. Joseph County Prosecutor Ken Cotter is a supporter of Senate Bill 449. He says it would be useful in unusual situations, but he says he doesn't anticipate he would even use it.
99.9% of the kids need to be treated. They need to have that help that the adult system is not very well suited to help them. On those rare occasions, to not even have that ability just seems somewhat short-sighted.
Cotter says he's more intrigued by another aspect of the bill, which extends the juvenile court's jurisdiction in some cases another 6 years, potentially until someone turns 24. Cotter says that would provide a better opportunity to work with a child so they're better equipped to return to society.
Right now, when somebody who is 17 years and 11 months commits, let's say, an auto theft, I have 1 month of juvenile jurisdiction left. Or I can ask the court to waive that person to adult court. And then I can have them for a little bit longer to get them the help they need to discontinue that whatever caused them to commit that crime in the first place.
Data from the state shows that only one case in 2019 would have fallen under this proposed change.
WSBT 22's Caroline Torrey reports that if passed by the legislature and approved by the governor, the bill would take effect on July 1st. It's being called a historic joint meeting between the South Bend Common Council and South Bend School Board. Council members say with the new administration, now is the perfect time to do it, and they came up with some action items.
Two big things included making a joint committee on parks and open space and then committing to future discussions on making schools safer. People who were there from both bodies emphasized that this is really just the beginning.
The destiny of our neighborhoods is one and the same with the destiny of our schools.
Mayor James Mueller says if it was up to him, he would invest only in public education and not in charter schools. But the city needs to learn to adapt with Indiana being so charter school friendly. While the upcoming referendum to fund schools was not a main topic of discussion, parents and board members hinted the school district needs help building its tax base.
Do you at this point support the referendum?
So I'm getting close, I'm having a lot of conversations, but the referendum won't do anything to fix our schools if there's not a commitment to bold action and a plan and taking a new way forward.
People Tonight asked to add more reading support, learning specialists, and social-emotional resources for kids in schools instead of just teaching to the test. Several teachers wore Red for Ed shirts, symbolic of demanding lawmakers to invest more in schools.
Teachers would love a higher pay, but that is not what we need to stay. We need support with both behaviors and academics, and we need to feel safe. Our students are important, but so are our teachers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Some teachers saying their mental health has declined, claiming kids can't be controlled and administrators could help.
Bring back something for them to care about, because right now they have no electives other than the ones that we force them to take. If they don't want to be there, they're going to act this way. And how are we supposed to stop that?
For things like student safety, school board members say the Common Council has already started to help.
What's important is that those individuals continue to collaborate with us so that we can ensure the safety for our students.
Teachers and parents in the audience tonight told me that fixing schools isn't just a simple answer. They're eager to see if anything really concrete comes after this meeting. And Council President Tim Scott says that they hope to do meetings like this at least every 3 months or so.
That's WSBT 22, Selena Guevara reporting. Black History Month came to an end yesterday, but that doesn't mean the celebration and education of African American culture should end. Indiana University South Bend leaders want to make sure it continues throughout the entire year. IUSB purchased the Civil Rights Heritage Center in South Bend at the end of last month.
The university has been renting this space since 2010, but now it officially bought it and purchased it. Now the reason and goal behind this is to continue bringing history to life for dozens of years to come. It's 1922, and inside this building in South Bend are dozens of people swimming in what the city calls the first public natatorium.
But it had that word public carved into the concrete, and it never should have had that word carved.
That's because not everyone was allowed past this ticket booth. For years, African Americans were denied entry.
That was an act of violence, and it impacted I don't know how many tens of thousands of people in this city for almost 30 years.
The pool became desegregated in 1950, but closed in 1978. Almost 30 years later, a group of IU South Bend students helped turn this piece of history into a useful learning space, calling it the Civil Rights Heritage Center.
We can put everything we do out of this space into one or combinations of three words: education, culture, and activism.
The university's been leasing the building for people to learn about South Bend's Black history through educational programs. It also brings to light oppression still existing today, igniting activism in the community.
So out of this space of early 20th century activism has to come a space of early 21st century activism.
And to ensure the continued activism, IU South Bend recently purchased the building.
IU has been around for about 200 years. By buying this building, it solidifies IU and IU South Bend's commitment to the space for probably at least another 200 years.
To celebrate this big purchase, there is a celebration happening here tonight with a lot of leaders, including IU's president. Now, although this is a private event, there are more than 200 public events happening throughout the year here.
That's WSBT 22's Lauren Becker reporting this past Tuesday. A public statement came this week from the grandfather of a little girl who fell to her death from a cruise ship. Sam Anello will enter a guilty plea to negligent homicide charges. Anello was on vacation with his family in Puerto Rico when Chloe Wiegand fell from his arms through a window. If the plea is accepted, Anello will not serve any jail time.
Instead, he'll face probation here in Indiana. The terms of that plea also say Anello wouldn't have to admit to any of the facts of the case. Anello and his family are suing Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, saying the company did not follow window fall prevention standards in place for nearly 30 years. In a statement, Anello told us, "I was focused on Chloe the whole time I was with her. As I walked with her, I also saw that the ship deck was surrounded by a wall of glass. In my experience, any elevated public place I've been in with that much glass has always been a protective barrier, whether it's at the hockey rink at Notre Dame or the 15-story building I work in where the glass is firmly affixed, preventing accidents like this." Throughout this case, Anello's family has stood by him. They have not supported any criminal charges against him. But Anello said he decided to plead guilty to, quote, end part of this nightmare.
WSBT 22's Caitlin Conan. An attorney for the family says a civil suit against the cruise line will continue.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.